ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षु श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्व निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। द्वितीयः खण्डः स्टेट वे गो is very good to remember tadeva brahma tvam viddhi needam edidam upasate. I said the whole of first section, the section of contemplation, because after unfolding revealing brahma lakshanam, after unfolding how reality is available, how reality is available, where reality is available, was shown in the very second mantra, in the answer. And once you understand, it was said, and that reality, what is available as your own sarupam, as the very sarupam of the knower, is definitely is behind everything, means is behind everything, hence is very truth of the sense organs, truth of the organs of actions, truth of thoughts, truth of the words. Therefore nothing can exist. Satyam of everything, the reality of everything, that which lends existence for powers, that which lends existence for words, that which lends existence for thoughts, the mind, that cannot become an object of knowledge at all. That is not an object of knowledge. That is the very swarupam, which is the adhara for of everything. It is that reality. When you arrive at it, how do you arrive at it? As when you arrive at, you remove the all the known. Not physically, cognitively you negate all the known, 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 known. And Aryavarti, what cannot be negated as the known is the knower. And that knower, again you find out the fact, the knower is only a status, a qualification attributed to what is imperceptible, what is indescribable, what is inconceivable, is actually truth. Knower is only a status from the standpoint of the known thoughts. That is how consciousness is, that is how reality is. And even the word consciousness is actually not an immediate meaning. There is no immediate meaning of the word consciousness. Even the consciousness is that which is conscious of is consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, and that is where I has to be located, and I am conscious. I am conscious of everything. And consciousness is implied by the term Atma. The same consciousness is implied by the term Brahma, which obtains in the form of existence of everything. And may you know that fact, that you are Brahma. You are Brahma. Nice to begin the class like this. Tadeva Brahma Tvambhiddhi. In fact, we are supposed to patiently dwell upon this fact of how everything is essentially consciousness. We have to see, without the knower I, can there be this function of seeing? No. So in every color I perceive, in every form I perceive, in every shape I perceive, in all these varied objects I perceive, which shine in the presence of light, which reflect light, everything, in every small perception, what is invariably present is I, the consciousness. So I am aware of light, I'm conscious of light, I'm conscious of trees, I'm conscious of ocean, I'm conscious of water, I'm conscious of waves, I'm conscious of people, I'm conscious of flowers, I'm conscious of fruits, I'm conscious of things, I'm conscious of sky, I'm conscious of space, I'm conscious of time, I'm conscious of flavors, I'm conscious of fragrance of flower, I'm conscious of softness of the texture of flowers, I'm conscious of objects I'm conscious of are all varied, different, distinct from everything. Every object is different from every other object I'm conscious of. So they're all asadharana, uncommon. But what is common in all of them? I am conscious. What I'm conscious of are uncommon, different, varied. But who is the one who is conscious of is one. I am conscious. I am conscious. I am conscious common. Is it clear? Therefore, common is that one invariable reality in all the varied experiences, objection, functions is implied by the term Atma, Brahma, Tadeva Brahma Tvam Vidhi. You have to take your power of hearing and see all the varied sounds. In all the varied sounds I am conscious of, they all differ, but I am conscious. It's the same. That doesn't change. That we are supposed to dwell upon this fact. Tadeva Brahma Tvam Viddhi. Okay, second khanda, just go. Dvitiyaha khandaha. Yadi manyase suvedeti.
Yadi manyase suvedeti.
Daharameva pinonam.
Daharameva pinonam.
Tvam vetha.
Tvam vetha.
Brahmano rupam.
Brahmano rupam.
Yadasya tvam, yadasya cha, deveshu, athano, mimamsyameva, mimagamsyameva is there? It's okay. Mimagamsyameva,
te,
manye viditam.
Manye viditam.
Naham manye suvedeti.
Naham manye suvedeti.
No na vedeti vedacha.
No na vedeti vedacha.
Yo nastadveda.
Yo nastadveda.
Tadveda.
Tadveda.
No na vedeti.
No na vedeti.
Vedacha.
Vedacha.
In this mantra, all these words sound alike. So, where will you take? Na aham manye suveda iti. Until then, what's the meaning? I do not think I know. Afterwards, no na veda iti. There, I do not think I know. Still, vedacha, I know. And yaha nastadveda, among us whoever understood that, my expression, tadveda, whoever understood, that person knows. What is that? I do not know, still I know. No na vedeti vedacha. Okay. Yasyamatam.
Yasyamatam.
Tasyamatam.
Tasyamatam.
Matam yasya.
Matam yasya.
Na vedasaha.
Na vedasaha.
Avijnatam.
Avijnatam.
Vijanatam.
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 Vijnatam.
Vijnatam.
Avijanatam.
Avijanatam.
One verse completely dedicated here just to help you remember in your mind, never ever search for reality as an object. Just to emphasize that one fact, whole mantra is dedicated here. Reality can never be arrived at as an object of knowledge. That does not mean reality is subject, but reality is available for recognition as the swarupam of this subject. What has been already said again is supported how to arrive at the reality. Now, once you have arrived at the reality also, how to know Brahman? The method of Brahma Jnanam, we just started yesterday. Of course, I covered a bit, but still let me repeat today to make it very clear. Pratibodha viditam matam.
Pratibodha viditam matam.
Amrutattvam hi vindate.
Amrutattvam hi vindate.
The second line, second half of the first line, means second, the first, the second pada, second quarter. Amrutatvam hi vindate. Amrutatvam means immortality. Immortality implies moksha, freedom. Vindate attains. The person attains immortality. The person discovers freedom. That is the jnana phalam. The result of knowledge also is mentioned. The method of Brahma jnanam is implied in the quarter, first quarter. Pratibodha viditam matam. Suppose if a person recognizes the Atma, reality, and he sees that reality not as anything else here, he sees reality as one's own self, in the light of the knowledge of reality obtaining as one's own self, one can see there is no second reality other than Atma. One can see that reality is Brahma, Upanishad already revealed. And he sees everything as reality. That is when he discovers freedom. Amrutatvam vindate means he attains immortality, which means he attains jivan mukti. He discovers moksha, he discovers fullness, happiness. That's the meaning while living. Amrutatvam hi vindate. Jnana palam is immediately mentioned by the next half. And second line actually tells, so vidyaya vindate amrutam, knowledge, amrutam, immortality, moksha is attained by knowledge. Vidyaya. Vidyaya again means knowledge only. So knowledge is the means and moksha is the end. So here, the knowledge and end, knowledge being the means, moksha being the end. Know that sadhana sadhya sambandha between knowledge and moksha is revealed in the last part. Vidyaya amrutam vindate. Vindate again attains. Amrutam vindate attains amrutatvam. Amrutam in the same. Amrutam vindate, person attains immortality. The person attains moksha. The person discovers freedom. How? Vidyaya, by knowledge. Which knowledge? Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the self. And what is that moksha? We'll see. And for that jnanam, what is that a person need? Even though Atma is ever present in, now you know, there's no fraction of second. Nothing is here without the Atma. Without the reality, without Brahma, without Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, which time reality is not here? Which place reality is not here? Which object reality is not here? Isn't it? In everything, everywhere, everything reality is. As the very truth of everything, swarupam of everything, as the adhara everything, lending existence, rending reality, lending life, reality is there always in everything. But still, why it is not recognizable? Why we are not able to recognize? Because the instrument of knowledge, antahkaranam, where reality is available for recognition, that instrument of jnanam, knowledge, is not adequately prepared, adequately ready. Adequate, no, it's not pure and steady, and therefore the capacity to know the reality, to have the preparedness, adequate preparedness required for jnanam to rise, is it mentioned, meant by the word viryam. Viryam, Shankaracharya says, samarthyam. Samarthya means the capacity to discover the truth obtaining in one's, as one's own self. What is it one need? What is it one really needs? Viryam. How can one earn that preparedness? Prepared. Viryam actually implies preparedness. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is viryam here. How can one earn that? Atmana vindate. Atma in the context means mind. Which mind? The mind which is endowed with the fourfold qualification. The mind which is adequately pure and steady. The mind which is which is pure and steady, which is prepared for discovering the subtle teaching, the subtle truth. Atmana. By such a mind, one has the capacity to know. Thereby, one understand. One has the samarthyam, capacity to know by being endowed with prepared mind. Atmana viryam vindate. Once you have a prepared mind, then vidyaya amritam vindate. The attainment of knowledge becomes very easy. See, Atmana Vindate, that sentence reveals the sadhanam, the means required for Atmajnanam, preparedness. And what is required for Jnanam? The method of knowing the truth is revealed in the first mantra, first line. And the benefit of knowledge is revealed in two sentences. Vidya Vindate Amritam, Amritattam hi vindate. Those two sentences reveal the benefit of knowledge. Okay? Three factors are revealed here, discussed here. Okay, anyway, we have to see. Okay, pratibodha viditam. Viditam means literally known. Known means experienced. Whom we want to experience newly is already always experienced. This very first word, viditam, knocks off the idea of wanting to experience Brahman newly. In fact, Upanishad itself does not reveal a new unknown reality to us. Upanishad does not reveal totally unknown Atma to us. Understand? Atma is already partially known to us. Existence of Atma is already known. Your existence is known to you. You know the world is, the existence is known to you. It means the reality which is revealed by Atma is not totally unknown to you. Then what is reality revealing? What is Shastram revealing now? Shastram does not reveal the totally unknown Atma. Be clear about it. So Shastram does not reveal totally unknown Atma, which means Shastram only corrects the error in the mistake in the perception of the Atma. So here the word viditam means already known. Known means what? Experienced. What is experienced here? Bodhaha. Bodhaha means knowledge. What is knowledge? The nature of reality. The reality which is of the nature of knowing is implied by the term bodhaha. Bodhaha means knowledge. Knowledge is experienced, which means Atma is experienced. Brahman is experienced. When, where, how, always experienced. Knowledge is always experienced, everywhere experienced. And the word prati, that's what? In every cognition, knowledge is experienced. In every experience, knowledge is experienced. In every piece of knowledge, knowledge is experienced. When I say knowledge is experienced, I mean Atma is experienced. Atma is a word implying the reality. That's all. Knowledge is experienced. Consciousness is experienced. When you say consciousness is experienced, knowledge is experienced, the doubt may come. All this time we understood Atma is not an object, consciousness is not an object of knowledge, but how do you say Atma is experienced here? Atma is experienced here not as an object, but as the Swarupam of every thought. As the truth of every thought. Is it clear? A big difference. Experienced. How it is experienced? As the truth of every thought, in every cognition, knowledge is experienced. Reality is experienced in every cognition. The word bodha here also means what? When you say cognition, knowledge. In knowledge, in every knowledge, knowledge is experienced means. The truth obtaining as the true reality, the consciousness, knowledge obtaining as the truth of every thought is experienced. Like what? Listen to this example, become very clear. This is now, I had to show two objects as an example for you to understand. And the best example is light and the opaque. See, the opaque thing, the opaque mic in front of me now shines. Opaque thing, mic shines. And where does it shine? The very fact the opaque thing shines, because there is light. And what is the nature of the light? Light is uniform. Light is one. Light is uniform. And light does not move. Light is of the nature of... Light doesn't... Don't talk about physics. Light travels and all that. Okay? Just take it. Just don't stretch the example too much. Because in physics we study light travels. That's a different thing. Here the light doesn't move. Light is one, light is uniform. Therefore, because of this, light is uniform, doesn't move, it's not colorful, it's uniform, it's the same and one, it does not draw the attention. Does not draw the attention. But in the light, an opaque thing is, an opaque thing shines. Isn't it? Then light becomes recognizable. If no opaque thing is here, no colors are here, nothing is happening here, the room, empty room, there is light. One light, which is uniform, which is colorless, which is unmoving, that light does not draw the attention. But something is happening here. Many things are here and all these opaque things shine. Because the opaque things shine, when the opaque thing is brought into light, opaque thing shines. So what does the light do to illumine the opaque thing? What does it do? Nothing. Light by its mere presence, sannidhi matrena sarvam prakashayati. Light by its mere presence, it illumines. So illumining is the nature of the light. And the light reflects Light is reflected here in the presence of the opaque. That reflected light, we say, there is reflected light. In the presence of the opaque, light is reflected light. In the absence of opaque thing, light is just the light. To differentiate the reflected light from the opaque, we say, we have one more adjective, pure light. Yesterday also mentioned this, I'm repeating it today. There is no pure light, there is no reflected light, there is just the light. That then what we say, the opaque itself is said to be reflection of the light. Opaque thing is given the state, but opaque thing itself is mentioned by another expression, reflection of the light. See, these things, even if you have heard many, many times, hundreds of times, one must have the patience to listen to these things repeatedly. Because if teaching has not gone into the head, nothing wrong in repeating even 1,000,000 times. Okay? Sometimes, all these words I already heard many times, I know this. So I feel bored, out of place. Means we do not know how to be with ourselves. It's a good thing to learn. So here this opaque thing reflects light. Opaque thing shines in the presence of light. I take a lot of time for unfolding this one particular verse. And therefore opaque thing shines in the presence of light. Okay, now I say, the light also gets another qualification from the standpoint of the opaque thing which shines, which is illumined, or other status, illuminator. Illuminator, the subject of illumination. The opaque thing is an object of illumination. Subject of illumination is the light. Illuminator is only a qualification, title attributed to the light from the standpoint of the opaque thing, which is illumined, which shines. Just like opaque thing shines. The very fact it shines, we say what? It is illumined. And on the standpoint of illumined, we say the illuminator qualification is attributed to the light. Now we say, in the presence of the opaque, light also gets the qualification as what? Not only the, if we say reflected light. Really speaking, this opaque thing is reflection of the light. Opaque thing is said to be reflecting medium. Opaque thing is the reflecting medium for the light. Opaque thing is reflecting medium for the light, and this opaque thing is what? No, reflected light or reflection of the light. Which means opaque thing is not given the status of being the parallelly real thing. It's not parallel to the light. It is not counted as an independent, or the how many things are here? Light and the opaque. There are two things here we should not say. We do not say light and opaque are parallel realities. Two parallel things means what? The two independent things. Light can be without the opaque. Opaque can exist without the light. Such situation is not here. Why? Because opaque cannot be independently without the light. Which means opaque cannot shine. Opaque cannot come to light. Opaque cannot have the status of being the known without the light. Light does not create the opaque. Please note, important lesson. Light does not create the opaque. Light does not make the opaque. Light has nothing to do with opaque. Light does not create opaque. But opaque is dependent on the very existence of light to reflect the light, to become the reflected light, to become the reflection of the light in order to come to light, thereby to have the status of being existent. Is it clear? I have so many words now. Reflected light, reflecting medium, reflection of the light. Because it has no independent existence outside of the light, even though it is different from the, okay, even though it is, light is distinct from the opaque, this opaque is non-different from the light. Opaque is looked upon as something which is non-different from the light. Why we say it is non-different from the light? Because wherever opaque shines, it shines only in the presence of light. Opaque can never shine independently without the light. Therefore, opaque is always any opaque thing which shines, which enjoys the status of being existent, is non-different from light. But light is distinct from the opaque, distinct from the opaque. But the opaque is non-different from the light. Why non-different? Because it shines only in the presence of light. Therefore, here we give the name, this light is Satyam, opaque is Mithya. Between the light and the opaque, there is Karanakarya Sambandha. How Karanakarya Sambandha? No, light is as good as the cause. Opaque is as good as the effect. Because a light by its mere presence lends existence to opaque through illumination. By illumining the object, by its very nature, by its mere presence, light illumines the opaque, thereby lends existence to the opaque. So that which lends existence is as good as the cause. That which, okay, borrows existence is as good as the effect. Therefore, opaque is effect. If opaque has the effect status, product status, and opaque is not different from the light. So this opaque thing is a manifest reflecting medium for the light. Therefore we say the light is dependent on opaque for its reflection, whereas opaque thing is dependent on the light for its very existence. Light is not dependent on opaque for its existence, but light is not dependent on opaque for its existence. Whereas opaque thing is dependent on light for its very existence. But light is dependent on opaque for its reflection. Is it clear? Clear? What is dependent on what for what? Therefore, light from the standpoint of opaque is the truth, Satyam. Independent is Satyam, dependent is Mithya. Light is Satyam, opaque is Mithya. And they are inseparable, intimately associated. Intimate, light and opaque. How intimate light and opaque thing are, isn't it? Inseparably, distancelessly, intimately associated. But still, light is distinct, opaque is non-different. These very important expressions. Light is distinct from the opaque, opaque is non-different from the light, even though, because they are intimately, distancelessly associated. The grossest example I am giving to make it very clear. before we go to the mind. Now, next, how many opaque things are here? There is reflection of light. How many reflections of light are here? Light is one. There are many reflections of light because many opaque things shine here. Mic is reflection of light. Recorder is reflection of light. Chair is reflection of light. Table is reflection of light. All these different colors are reflections of light. All our faces, opaque faces, are reflections of light. Windows, doors, wall, all the pictures on the wall, all these objects are reflections of the only light. It's called asadharanam. There are many. The reflections of light, the opaque things, which are all reflections of light, are varied, many, different forms, different names they have. They serve different purposes also. They are associated with different functions, and all of them are varied. But tell me, in every reflection, look at every opaque as a reflection of light, okay? In every reflection, in every reflected light, in every reflection, what is sadharanam, what is asadharanam? What is common? What is sadharanam, what is common? What is asadharanam, what is uncommon? The reflections are uncommon. Mic is different from chair. Chair is different from... Every object is different from every other object. But light is common. Light is one. Light is one. In everything, light is one. Now, all these things are taken away. Bring some other things and fill the hall here. Same light. No, different opaque things. They all shine. Is it clear? So these objects can be shifted from here, brought again. Different things can be brought here. Because this hall is used for some other purpose. After our Vedanta class, something else, some bhajan is going to happen. Then you have to bring musical instruments and all the things. And people who come, new guests come, the chairs are put. The hall is filled with the different opaque things. These things are taken away. Still same light. Understand? That doesn't change. In every object, opaque thing which reflects, what is? All these opaque things which are reflections of light are varied, many. They change, but this source of reflection is light. Is it clear? And that light is one, unchanging. We should not stitch the example. Understand what is to be understood just with whatever has been said in that. Similarly, pratibodha viditam. Yesterday I said knowledge which rises in the mind, or experience which we have, or cognition which takes place. Cognition and synonyms, okay. So in this here, the two factors are involved. I said first is vrittihi. Vrittihi is inexplicably subtle thought is called vrittihi, and which is the many vrittis constitute the antahkaranam mind. Now you take antahkaranam as one. It is not separate as in buddhi, manaha, chitta, mahankara. It is not separate like that. Varieties of thoughts, vrittis, vritti nam samuhaha. Many vrittis, many thoughts constitute one antahkaranam. You would have learned before, these thoughts alone are categorized in keeping with the function into four as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Isn't it? So, ahankaraha is just only one thought. First you say the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am is ahankara. That thought. I. Then we have memory. We have intellect. We have mind. Now let us say, to put all the thoughts together as one antahkaranam. So once the knowledge rises, knowledge of existence of one's own self, when the thought rises, and there, then the knowledge of everything else is possible. Then when his mind is active mind, sense powers also can be functional, the external world also can be perceived. And mind does come in contact with the external world through sense organs. Remember, we studied in Bhagavad Gita also, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya. Mind comes in contact with the sense objects. Through what? Through sense organs. Without the sense organs, mind does not, cannot directly come in contact with sense objects. Mind is dependent on sense organs to reach out to the sense objects. That's why they're called objects of perception, we say, because mind has to associate. Mind can come in contact with the objects only through sense organs. Sense organs are like the entrance gates for sense objects to enter the mind, reach the mind. So thoughts rise, and we have srotra vrittihi, netra vrittihi, grana vrittihi, rasana vrittihi. The thought associated with every sense organ. Okay, many thoughts rise. There's a corresponding thought associated with every sense power. And through the sense power, the thought reaches out the object and assumes the form of a given object. Which means sense organs can definitely report to the mind whatever objects are there. Definitely, mind has to come in contact with the objects for the objects to shine. But which are the objects, the knowledge of which objects takes place? Only the objects upon which attention is focused, only that object becomes known. The knowledge of the objects upon which attention is focused alone, knowledge happens. The object upon which attention is focused, that object alone becomes registered. And whichever object gets registered because of the focus of the attention, then the knowledge of that object takes place. That knowledge is what we say, vritti jnanam. Vrittijnanam. So thought is an important factor for knowledge to rise. And the thought by itself, as they made very clear, thought by itself cannot become knowledge. Thought needs to be blessed by the consciousness. Of course, consciousness is always there. We don't need to go and search for consciousness. Always there, everywhere there, in every consciousness is always there. Therefore, what should be there for now? Knowledge. Knowledge is the reality is there in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, always there. Reality is always there. But what is the nature of reality? Pure knowledge. Why is it given the name pure knowledge? Because it is of the nature of knowing. Being conscious, being aware, knowing is the swarupam of the reality. So pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge is always there. We already understood very well. It is, has no beginning, no end, no change. It's always there. Then why there is a time there is ignorance? Why there is a time there is knowledge? Isn't it? There's a time there's ignorance. In deep sleep state, there is ignorance. In waking state, there is knowledge. Which means, what is that which really gives, right, which is the cause for ignorance and knowledge to be there? When the thoughts resolve ignorance, thoughts rise knowledge. Which means the thoughts rise, like how when the opaque thing is brought into the presence of light, opaque thing shines. When the thoughts rise, thoughts shine. Is it clear? And the thought, every thought is what? Obtaining thought which has assumed the form of a given object shines. Thought assuming the form of a given object shines in the presence of consciousness. Which means the consciousness and the thought are inseparable. Just as opaque and light are inseparable, intimately close, we say inseparably close, intimate, the consciousness and thought are inseparable. And I said the same consciousness, the same knowledge, pure knowledge. Now we say it is thought is reflection. Thought is a reflecting medium for consciousness. I can say thought is a manifesting medium for consciousness. And I say thought is actually manifestation of consciousness. Manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear now? How the opaque is said to be a reflection of light, thought is manifestation of consciousness. The thought which serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness is now manifestation of consciousness. So light does not create thoughts. Light does not create the opaque. Consciousness does not create matter. Consciousness does not create matter. Consciousness is distinct from matter, but matter is non-different from consciousness. Why? Because matter can never enjoy the status of being existent independently without the presence, without the blessing of consciousness. Presence is blessing. And matter obtaining in the form of a thought. Understand? Subtlest matter. The mind consisting of thoughts alone is capable of manifesting consciousness. Any matter does not manifest. See, the matter, gross or subtle or subtler, whatever is the matter, consciousness is all pervasive. does not matter in and through matter what pervades his consciousness. But where is it manifest? Where is it available for recognition? In the wall also there is consciousness. Wall is also matter, isn't it? Wood is also matter. Everything is matter only here. All the forms are matter. All the names are given to the matter. All the material products are associated with the functions and actions. Understand? Everything is matter only here, but still all the material forms, names, functions, actions are all material. Material, inert, but now it looks as though they are all conscious and sentient. They are alive. They enjoy the existence because of the blessing of consciousness. But there is no manifestation of consciousness everywhere. Gross matter. There is no manifestation of consciousness on the part of gross matter. The subtlest matter which is capable of manifesting consciousness. Highest of, I told you, manifestation is possible only in human mind. So, the thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam are all material products. The very fact they shine, they enjoy the status of being existent because of the blessing of consciousness. And the thought, whichever object is contacted through the sense organ, thought assumes that form. And our focus also is placed on the object. Then there's the vritti, vrittihi takes place. And that vritti shines in the presence of consciousness. That's how vritti jnanam takes place. It's called rising of knowledge. Is it clear? The two factors are involved. Thought and consciousness. Together, the two components, inseparable components, involved in knowledge, cognition. Now, how many thoughts arise? And thoughts are constantly changing. Thoughts will not remain. Thoughts are arising, constantly thoughts are changing, and objects are varied, and how many cognitions? Varied. Varieties, varied, objects are varied, cognitions are varied, perceptions are varied, and through each sense organ, the objects perceived are so many. So many forms in one light, through the one sense organ called seeing power. So many smells are perceived through one nose, power of smelling. So many sounds are perceived through varieties of sounds are heard through, not only one particular sound, not specific sound, varieties of sounds are heard. Varieties of smells and fragrances are smelt. Innumerable countless forms are perceived through, seen through eyes. Seen, heard, smelt, tasted, touched objects are innumerable countless. And all those relevant, so whichever object draws the attention, wherever attention is focused, and that knowledge of that object takes place, which means a vritti jnanam, which is cognition. And these varied cognitions, the cognitions are changing because of these two aspects, two components which form in each cognition. Which aspect is changing? Which aspect is not unchanging? Cognitions are changing means, why cognitions are changing? Because vrittis are changing. But what is unchanging aspect there? Consciousness. Okay. Now, Can there be any cognition without the consciousness? So that's what it is said. In every changing cognition, what is changelessly present is unchanging consciousness. In every variable cognition, what is invariably present is consciousness. Is it clear? When you are experiencing the opaque, simultaneously you are experiencing the light. Two factors have to be simultaneously experienced. Only then experience of opaque is possible. Is it clear? When you are experiencing the opaque, you are simultaneously experiencing the light. The very experience of opaque mic is possible because of the experience of the light. Now tell me, light is already experienced or not? Along with the light, along with the opaque. When you are experiencing an opaque thing, light is already simultaneously experienced. In experience of every opaque, what is invariably experienced is light. Is it clear? Similarly, in every cognition, in every experience you have, waking state experience, dream state experience, deep sleep state experience, in the waking also, varied experiences you have, various experiences, in every experience, in all the changing experiences, what is invariably experienced is consciousness. Therefore, every reflection is light, every experience is consciousness, every cognition is consciousness, any piece of knowledge is consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, we should not wait for good auspicious time to experience consciousness. Is it clear? Do we need samadhi experience for experiencing consciousness? This verse knocks off all the ideas. See, samadhi experience something different. We don't need to worry about it, okay? That is different. See, the meditation, samadhi experience are completely different. Here we are talking about Atma Jnanam, which is the means of attainment of moksha. For self-knowledge, what experience, special experience you need? Tell me. Already, always consciousness is experienced. Already, always consciousness is recognized. Okay? It's experienced. It's not recognized. And the Shastra's job is what? Shastra helps us recognize consciousness, which is already experienced in our every cognition. Attention has to be, Shastram helps us to shift our attention from the opaque to the light. Shastram helps us to shift our attention from the thought to consciousness. In every cognition, we have to see how consciousness is invariably present, unchangingly present. Pratibodha viditam. I can explain more process of knowledge. This next topic, but I didn't want to deviate from this, what is to be said here. if we take the whole mind, mind is always inseparably with the consciousness. The non-functional mind, the thoughts are resolved. Where is the mind? All thoughts are resolved. Mind is non-functional. There are only two vrittis, ajnana vrittihi, ananda vrittihi, in deep sleep state. Even then, non-functional mind is known, isn't it? The non-functional, passive, inactive mind, where all the thoughts are resolved. Okay, where only two vrittis are experienced. What vrittis? Ajnana vrittihi, ananda vrittihi. This experience. Two factors are experienced in deep sleep state. What are they? Bliss. Absence of experience of pairs of opposites is experienced. And total ignorance is experienced in sleep. Isn't it? Is it or not? Which means that non-functional, inactive, passive mind is known. And the mind is partially awake, partially asleep. What is partially awake, partially asleep? When the mind is partially functional, partially non-functional. When the mind functions along with the sense organs, it is totally awake, totally functional. In dream, mind is not associated with the sense organs, but still mind is functional. Partially functional. That's why the vrittis come. You have some dream world, isn't it? Partially functional. The dream experience, dream world is there. There's a dream jiva, dream jagat, all projected in one's own mind, all thoughts. Whole dream world, that there's a dream space, dream thought, dream time, dream individual, dream people, dream inert. Everything is dream. The whole dream world of dream objects are all in the form of thoughts. Please see, just see. All the dream objects are where? It's the thoughts. And the dream experience also, a state of mind, now shines where? Same consciousness. Okay, dream state of mind, where the dream world, dream objects are experienced, also the dream state of, this is also mind. Where does this mind shine? In the presence of consciousness. There also is an experiencer. The deep sleep mind is, we said, deep sleep state of the mind, totally non-functional, inactive, passive mind, thoughts are resolved. Still there is, that mind is known. Dream state of mind is known. Which means there is knower in deep sleep state, experiencer in deep sleep state, the experiencer in dream state. Similarly, in waking state, the mind is totally functional. Totally non-functional, partially functional, totally functional. Mind, all thoughts are up. Mind functions along with the sense organs. So it illumines, comes in contact with the external world of objects. In the external world shines. In dream, why external world does not shine simultaneously? Why can't you have the experience of both the worlds? Why not? When you have dream experience, you cannot have external world. World cannot be experienced because the thoughts, those thoughts are non-functional. All the vrittis, the thoughts which have to, you know, go through the sense organs to the external world, those thoughts are resolved. Mind does not function along with the sense powers. Therefore, external world is, experience of external world is not possible. Because then mind busy projecting the world, different world. Okay, dream, there is also experiencer. Whether mind is totally passive or partially active or totally active, mind is always intimately associated with consciousness. That is why mind always is conscious. Even though mind by itself is inert matter, never does the mind become inert. It's always conscious mind, sentient mind, alive. Mind is ever alive. Okay? Because mind is always intimately associated with the consciousness. Mind shines. Inactive mind also shines. Active mind also shines. Partially inactive, partially active mind also shines. Which means it always reflects. Okay? It serves as a manifesting medium for consciousness. Is it clear? Now, in the waking state, the world is so wide, objects are many, fivefold sense organs are report to the mind, varieties of objects, and wherever attention is focused, there the object gets that particular object gets registered, and there, once the registration of object is there, there's a vritti that there happens. What? Jnanam, vritti jnanam, which means and a vritti jnanam, vrittis keep on changing, therefore cognitions are so many, experiences are so many, and what is unchangingly, invariably present is consciousness. Is it clear? So, consciousness is bodham, bodham, pratibodham, pratibodha viditam, means in every cognition, in all the variable cognitions, in all the way, the thought component is changing. What is unchanging is consciousness aspect. Is it clear? Pratibodha viditam, already consciousness is experienced. Therefore, we need not wait for special experience of consciousness. Now, when you pay attention to, okay, now you understand this, in every cognition, if you remember, what is a thought aspect now? Object, if you say thought, let me tell you, table knowledge, table cognition means table is associated with the thought, is associated with the table now. Thought has assumed the table form. Remove the object. What is what? Not physically. Consciousness. In table knowledge, you remove the form, name and function table, consciousness is there. So intellectually you have to delete it. Apple knowledge, apple cognition, table cognition, mic cognition, window cognition, sound cognition, bhajan cognition, song cognition, color cognition, taste cognition, sweetness cognition, bitterness cognition, sandal paste fragrance cognition, fragrance cognition, flavor cognition, mint leaf flavor cognition, fragrance cognition, sweetness cognition, bitterness cognition, sound cognition, light cognition, color cognition, form cognition, sound cognition. I tell you, in all the cognitions, vrittis are varied and many. what is invariable is consciousness. So in every experience you are experiencing consciousness already. If you remove the objects cognitively, what is invariable is consciousness. Which means this, what is Brahma Jnanam? This is the method of seeing the truth. This is the method of seeing the truth. Okay. It is not enough if we simply cognitively, intellectually discern the consciousness from every object obtaining in the form of a thought. We are not seeing outside objects now, okay? Only thoughts. It is not enough if I simply discern the consciousness from the thought, object obtaining in the form of a thought. Every object is seen in the form of a thought only. Thought objects only are illumined. The thought object is illumined outside, my thought is illumined inside, outside my shines. Amazing. You remove, discern cognitively, intellectually, the consciousness from the thought, okay, object obtaining in the form of a thought, and that consciousness is Brahma, that consciousness is Atma, the consciousness is the truth of every thought. So consciousness is not an object of thought. Understand now? Pot thought, cloth thought, window thought, door thought. Are you all with me? In every cognition, the thought is there. Consciousness is the swarupam of the thought, not object of thought. Is it clear? Suppose a pot thought, let us say pot. Pot thought, ghata akara vritti. What is object of thought there? Pot. Pot is, when you say pot jnanam, table knowledge, table cognition means, there table thought is there. In table cognition or table knowledge, there is table thought plus consciousness is equal to table knowledge, table cognition. So table is object of thought, and consciousness is swarupam of thought. If part knowledge is, part is object of thought, and consciousness is swarupam of that thought. Sound knowledge is, sound cognition is, because birds are making noise. Sound knowledge is, sound cognition is, that sound is object of thought, consciousness is swarupam of that thought. Is it clear? Consciousness can never become object of thought. Consciousness is the swarupam of thought. Now, it is this consciousness which obtains the swarupam of thought, adhara of the thought, which lends existence for the thought, which enables the thought function as illuminator of an object. Okay, that consciousness is implied by the term Atma or Brahma, and I am that consciousness. The thing is, where is I now? What is the use of simply seeing consciousness, consciousness, consciousness? You should resolve I sense in that Satyam Atma, consciousness. You have to shift the I sense from, no, okay, the object to this consciousness. Similarly, body is, body cognition is. Now see that. Body is means my body is. Even other people's body, okay? See, our own body is, body cognition is. In body cognition, body is object of thought. What is the swarupam of thought? Consciousness. Now seeing power, all now sense powers, seeing power cognition is, hearing power cognition is, sense organ cognition is, okay, seeing power, hearing power, every sense power is object of knowledge. So every sense power is object of thought. Every sense power is object of thought. In every thought, consciousness is the swarupam of the thought. You see that now? Now shift it to now. Even powers of organs of action. This cognition of the powers of organs of actions. Organ of speech. The power of organ of speech. Okay, power cognition is. Power is object of thought. Consciousness is swarupam of thought. Do you see that? I'm stretching to make it very clear. Now we'll come to mind itself. You know, Prana's cognition is, respiration cognition is, inhalation cognition is, exhalation cognition is. If you pay attention, you do pranayama. That is what? Attention is placed. We always are breathing, but we never pay attention. In pranayama especially, we are trained to pay attention to our breathing. Breath. We inhale. So inhalation cognition is, exhalation cognition is. In cognition, inhalation is object of thought. Swarupam of thought is consciousness. Come to the mind. Desire is, like is, dislike is. There's a dislike cognition, like cognition, desire cognition. Desire is means, now I'm dreaming all external objects. Come to much subtler objects. Desire is, desire cognition is. Jealousy cognition is. Hatred is, hatred cognition is. Anger is, anger cognition is. Anger is means, you may not pay attention to anger, that's a different problem. But anger is means anger cognition is. Some vritti is triggered for that phenomenon to exist. Okay, there are subtle objects. I have taken you from grosses to, I'm taking you to the subtle objects. They're all objects of knowledge in the form of thoughts, anger, etc. Not external, not even external objects. They're internal objects, subtle objects, obtaining in the form of thoughts. Anger is means anger itself is an object, and this anger cognition is. Desire cognition is, hatred cognition is, compassion cognition is. Understand? So in every cognition, Now, desire is object of thought. Like is object of thought. That cognition. Anger is object of thought. But sarupam of that anger thought is consciousness. Now tell me, what is the substratum, adhara, for anger? What is the substratum, adhara, for desire? What is the substratum, adhara, for jealousy, hatred, anger, fear? This is a fear cognition, fear knowledge. Fear is an object of thought. And the sarupam of that thought, fear thought, is what? Consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, whether the object is grosser or grossest, subtle, subtler or subtlest, every object, any object, is object of thought. The knowledge of any given object, anything which enjoys the status of being an object, is object of knowledge. An object of knowledge means this knowledge of the given object, and that knowledge object obtains in the form of a thought, the form, name, and function obtained from a thought, and the sarupam of each thought is consciousness. So this consciousness is beginningless. Time cognition is. The time is object of thought. Sarupam of the time thought is consciousness. Space is object of thought. Now see, your mind is what great your thought is. Poor space is dependent on your thought for it to have the status of being existent. So what? How vast it is. It doesn't exist outside of your mind. The whole jagat exists in your mind now. Do you see that? Where does the world exist? Outside, what do you think all these days? You think world is outside of me. Is it clear? Now where is the world? Outside of which you? The big shift. All these days you think I am here in the world. World is outside of me. I am different from the world. Now this teaching should shift what? I am not in the world. World is in me, in the form of thoughts. All the thoughts are in me. And which me? Consciousness. It is shift. Do you see that? This is what the shift, this shift should happen in this class. Pratibodha viditam. Where is time? Are you in time? Time is in you. First you have to say time is in me, then you have to say I am the time. I the consciousness am the time. Where is space? Space is in the thought. Where is space thought? In me. So I the consciousness am space. Where are these forms, names and functions are all in thoughts, my thoughts. The entire world of objects experienced, known, enjoyed is in the form of thoughts. And thoughts are all in me. Therefore, I the consciousness am time, I the consciousness am space, I the consciousness am all forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Therefore, I the consciousness am the whole. Aham Brahma Asmi. shifting job is difficult. This is called method of knowing Brahman. You do not know Brahman as an object of thought. You are arriving at Brahman as the Swarupam of thought, and you are resolving your I sense in that consciousness which is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Pratibodha viditam matam. Reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma is ever experienced in every cognition, in all the variable cognitions, in the form of invariable consciousness. And you are that consciousness. Do you want to know whether you are there or not? Which pramanam can show you are there or not? I have a doubt. Do I exist or not? Am I here? Ask your other person sitting next to you. Am I here? That person contacts Swamiji. Swamiji, we have to arrange for some taxi to take him, some psychiatrist. Mangamasi otherwise. Nobody will ask, am I here or not? You know you are. Now you know you are consciousness. I shifted, distinguished from the known objects of thought. Is resolved in consciousness. I am not an individual who is different from the world, existing in the world, but I myself am consciousness in whom the whole world exists. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivodbhutayatha nidraya. As long as you do not know, the world is like the dream. Once you know, the world is in you. The whole world is reflected in your mind. So you are the whole. Om, we have to see the rest of the portion of the mantra we see in the afternoon. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. May Bhagavan bless all of us to resolve all our pratibandhas, our papa karma phala, which really prevent us from taking ownership of what we are essentially. Bhagavan blesses with the clear vision of the teaching. Bhagavan blesses to enjoy the vision of this teaching, benefit of this knowledge.
So consciousness is experienced all the time. It is always there. And when we wish to discern consciousness, from the objects. Experience, we have to do it intellectually.
Discerning is intellectual.
Yes. So, practically speaking, when I try to do it, so for example, if you're speaking and I try and I'm doing it, I cannot fully concentrate on what you're saying. Or if I look at an object and I try to do this, I cannot fully experience the object. So how can you practically practice it and keep functioning properly?
See, when the class is being done, you're listening. You're listening. Even when I showed you, when I showed sound cognition is, now there's a very minute sound created by these air conditioners. You're focusing on that sound. Sound cognition is, when you say, the thought assumed the form of a sound. Sound, sound is object of vritti. And the surupma of vritti is consciousness. It is not just discerning, is not again an action. The problem is our orientation, not only you, all of us are naturally, we have the orientation of wanting to do something. Again, is effort to do something here. That is why you find it difficult. You don't need to do anything, just seeing what is. That what happened, now you have started listening, now you understood the teaching. When you listening more will help you. When you more and more you listen, it will help you. Actually, when you're listening, you don't need to do it. You're understanding. Listening itself is understanding. Unfoldment is, the class is actually, the teacher should make you see what the teacher is repeatedly seeing. Every teacher has one's own way of presenting it, teaching it. Of course, the sampradaya we cannot change. But today I really took longer time to make you understand. You know, mainly the object doesn't exist outside of the thought. Thought doesn't exist. Thought does assume the form of an object. Thought alone shines in presence of consciousness. And a thought doesn't have light of its own. And the surupma of every thought is consciousness. The very fact thought knowledge is means there is consciousness. There is pure knowledge which is inseparably with the thought. If you say, it's a fact for you, isn't it? Light is a fact or not? Easiest example. Light is a fact. When you say light is, it is knowledge, which means you're experiencing light. Light is a fact, and which means you're experiencing light. You're experiencing light, where is light experienced? Thought. There's a light thought, light vritti in your mind. Understand? Light vritti, what is inseparably there is consciousness. Light is means light jnanam is. Light jnanam is means jnanam is. That jnanam is consciousness. The jnanam is you. Really, again, discerning, don't try to do anything. Just see that like that. When I say tree, if you don't focus attention, okay, you're just walking on the side, walking that side. You really do not pay attention to all the trees. You know the trees are, because every day you're walking in this campus, you know everything, what is where. Yes, you don't pay attention. Suppose if you were in my place, okay, suppose there's a sapodilla tree. And immediately there you ought to pay attention. Any fruit is falling down or not. There is a fruit. A fruit jnanam. Okay? There is a fruit. Ripe fruit. Fruit is. Fruit jnanam is. Fruit is means fruit jnanam is. Existence presupposes knowledge. Even if the fruit is, if your attention is not paid, fruit jnanam is not there. Fruit is as good as non-existent. Got it? Even if the fruit is, attention is not paid, then fruit is as good as non-existent. Why? Because fruit knowledge is not, fruit is not registered. Therefore, fruit jnanam is not there. You see, I see the fruit, but attention is not paid. So there's no fruit vritti, there's no fruit jnanam. So fruit is as good as non-existent. Is it clear? Suppose you pay attention. Oh, fruit is. Means fruit jnanam is. Fruit jnanam is means the fruit is object of thought. Jnanam is consciousness. That is how you have to see. Not discerning means not really, don't need to make efforts. Is it in fact effortlessly known as consciousness? You know that? To know anything you have to make effort. To know consciousness, you need not make any effort. One more thing I tell you, the important lesson. See, to see various Swamiji's, I have asked various Swamiji's residents, you will show me, turn this side, go this side, there. I had to make effort to show where it is. Where is the camera? There. I had to turn this side and see where the camera is. Okay. Where is this general air conditioner? Turn this side, turn and see. Where is light? Should I turn any side? Do I need to turn my head? Where is light? Effortlessly I can see the light. Why? Whichever direction I turn my head, there's light. But house means only this direction. Air conditioner means only this direction, that direction. Camera means this direction. Window, this direction. Door, this direction. Light, I don't need to make any efforts. To have the knowledge of anything other than Atma, effort is involved. To understand, no light, no effort is involved. Similarly, you have to pay attention to the object. For the object to get registered, for the thought to assume the form of the object, for the cognition to be there. The cognition to be there, for a given object to have the status of being existent, cognition must be there. And for the cognition to be there, thought must assume the form of the object. For thought to assume the form of the object, thought must object must get registered, for which the focus must be, attention must be focused on that object. Is it clear? But for thought, very thought, consciousness, no effort is required. Because very thought exists in consciousness. The thought enables, now the thought is enabled to illumine other object because of consciousness. There's no need to be stressed. Anything I see, chair is, means chair cognition is. Chair cognition is means chair is object of thought. And what is other component of the cognition? Consciousness. Cognition. Other component of conscious cognition is consciousness. The very fact for me chair is means chair cognition is means their consciousness is. Okay? That is why pratibodha viditam, every fraction of second, every cognition consciousness is ever experienced, already experienced. So every experience is consciousness, consciousness can never become the object of experience. Consciousness is the swarupam of experience, truth of experience, reality of experience, without which experience is not possible. Have we answered your question? I'm happy, she's happy. So, pratibodha viditam. Hunger consciousness is... Hunger cognition is... Okay. Hunger cognition is means hunger consciousness is. You can never miss consciousness. Pratibodha viditam. Memorize your sentence. Pratibodha viditam. Consciousness is invariably present in all variable cognitions. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.